Well, I've got a Duck Dynasty update for you, and then we'll focus on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday and some of the most shocking comments you've ever heard coming from a Jew.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, and we're going to have a thoroughly Jewish discussion about some really wild and controversial things today on the Line of Fire. But we're going to start with some Duck Dynasty news, because it is news and it is going viral all over America. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. You know, my schedule is always pretty intense, but it was extra intense in recent weeks. And last night, after radio, I had to do one radio interview. Actually, a colleague, Steve Dace, had been contacted by John MacArthur's ministry about him coming on the air. They were doing some limited media interviews, and Steve said, listen, I'm going to have him on for 15, 18 minutes. I'd like to have you on. These were recorded interviews. So I had to do that at 6. But otherwise, I said to our young daughter, Meg, who lives in the area with her husband and kids, I said, why don't I take the kids out tonight? We'll just go see a movie, some fun movie, our grandkids that are here, 12 and 10, just to chill, just to unwind. So we got dinner. Right after dinner, I did the 15, 18-minute interview with Steve Dace, and then we went from there to chill and watch the movie Frozen together and eat popcorn, peanut M&Ms, and snow caps. Of course, I only drank water. I don't drink soda. Big deal at that point. Got home and then sat down to write an article on the Duck Dynasty controversy and Phil Robertson being suspended for his statements about homosexuality. It's interesting, he made other statements that could have been considered racially insensitive. I did not see the same uproar about those, nor did I see those specifically referenced as to why he was being suspended. I don't expect either Phil Robertson or his family to back down. In fact, I would expect them to say, if he's suspended, we're all out. We shall see. Given the power of the gay activist lobby, I don't expect to see A&E step back, despite the fact that this is their most lucrative program, I'm sure, by far. But I wrote an article. Last night, got posted this morning on a number of websites. It's called Duck Dynasty, Gay Activism, and the Clash of Two Cultures. So I want to take a couple of minutes to review that with you. It is going viral since it was posted on one website at 9 this morning, just on this one website. It's been shared well over 7,000 times already. Another website's been shared about 2,500 times already. So it's getting out. People are resonating with it. There is a Facebook page. Actually, there's several, but one saying we're going to boycott A&E until Phil is reinstated. And that probably has, let's just see. Let me take a look and see how many likes that page has already. You seen this, Matt? 564,000 now. 564,000. So people are basically saying, hey, enough with this. He may have been a little bit crude in his manner of speaking, and he's never claimed to be some refined gent. He is from Louisiana, and there is a certain Louisiana culture that can say things a little differently than others might in other parts of the country. But people have basically had it and said, look, he expressed things. We happen to agree with much of what he had to say. And we think it's absolutely bigoted and it's bullying to say that he will be suspended. So tell you about that. And then, who is Brother Nathaniel? Why am I even bothering to bring this up? I mean, doesn't this man hold to all kinds of conspiracy theories and anti-Semitic libels? Why even mention him? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me put a few questions out for you. Do you believe that Jews control the media? Do you believe that Jews basically hold the president and Congress hostage? Do you believe that Israel was somehow behind the 9/11 events? Do you believe that there are secret Jewish conspiracies to take over the entire world? Jews control money and finances in America and the world. Do you believe that? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Do you believe that the Israelis are basically the Goliath in the Middle East and are terribly oppressing the poor little Davids that surround them, in particular the Palestinians living in the West Bank and Gaza? Do you believe that? I'd love for you to call and explain your views today and what hard evidence you have for any of those views. Now, I'm not putting all of those together. In other words, you may say absolutely no to the first view, but yes to the last, or vice versa. 866-348-7884. To read my article on Duck Dynasty, Gay Activism and the Clash of Two Cultures, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the latest article. Also, all of my friends listening in the New York, New Jersey area, please put this on your calendar. January 9th, the afternoon of January 9th, between 1 and 6 in the afternoon, you'll be able to come for any part of it that you like, but I recommend especially that you're there for the last few hours. From 1 to 2 in the afternoon at the American Bible Society in Manhattan, I will be joining Kevin McCullough as we will be doing live AFR TV together. That'll be followed by The Line of Fire Live. You'll actually get to see me broadcast The Line of Fire Live. If a friend of yours called by cell phone from outside the building and made it onto the broadcast, you'd be able to see the interview as it happens in front of your eyes. And then from 3 to 4, I'll be joining Kevin McCullough on his radio broadcast. And then from 4 to 5, speaking to you about my two latest books, Authentic Fire, Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire, and Hyper Grace, Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Movement. Then taking your questions. And then from 5 to 6, doing a book signing with those books that you'll be able to purchase there. How can you find out more? Just go to WMCA.com, WMCA.com, and right on the homepage, you'll see the special event. You need to sign up. The tickets are free, but you'll need a ticket to get in. 866-34-TRUTH. Also, if you want to comment on the Duck Dynasty issue, although that's not going to be my major focus for the rest of the show, this is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, and we're going to stay there. But I am going to address this briefly. It does have the attention of the nation, and it is important. What happens? Well, Phil Robertson, the patriarch of the Duck Dynasty clan, does an interview with GQ magazine. It gets released earlier this week. He is a self-proclaimed Bible thumper. As a result of some statements he made regarding homosexual practice, he was immediately condemned by GLAAD. GLAAD officially stands for the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. I have renamed it the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement. They even have a commentator accountability project. I'm one of 36 people that they've listed on it, saying for the media, do not have these people on to give their side. We don't want their side heard. We believe it is dangerous. We don't want their side heard. Hence, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement. They issued a statement condemning Robertson's remarks as, quote, some of the vilest and most extreme statements uttered against LGBT people in a mainstream publication, and said his quote was littered with outdated stereotypes and blatant misinformation. He goes on from there. The report also says that Robertson clearly knows nothing, quote, about gay people or the majority of Louisianans and Americans who support legal recognition for loving and committed gay and lesbian couples. That's news to the majority of Louisianans who actually do not support redefining marriage. They also called for A&E to take action. The Human Rights Campaign, world's largest gay activist organization, condemned them as well, condemned the remarks. And Robertson said, well, I myself am a product of the 60s. I centered my life around sex and drugs and rock and roll till I hit rock bottom and accepted Jesus as my Savior. My mission today is to go forth and tell people about why I follow Christ and also what the Bible teaches. And part of that teaching is that women and men are meant to be together. However, I'd never treat anyone with disrespect just because they're different from me. We're all created by the Almighty, and like Him, I love all of humanity. We'd all be better off if we loved God and loved each other. Well, within the day, A&E issued its own statement. We are extremely disappointed to have read Phil Robertson's remarks in GQ, which are based on his own personal beliefs and are not reflected in the series Duck Dynasty. His personal views in no way reflect those of A&E Networks, who have always been strong supporters and champions of the LGBT community. The network has placed Phil under hiatus from filming indefinitely. And immediately, faith-driven consumers, we had them on with us yesterday. They started a page on Facebook and petition, I Stand With Phil. Another Facebook page, Boycott A&E Until Phil Robertson Is Put Back on Duck Dynasty, already has, it's approaching 600,000 likes, and this just started yesterday. What did he say that was so controversial? First, he said, start with homosexual behavior and just morph out from there, bestiality, sleeping around with this woman, and that woman, and those men. All right. Obviously, the homosexual community has been very upset, saying you're putting what we do, two men who love each other, two women who love each other, committed relationships in the same class as bestiality. Well, notice he's also putting it in the same class as sleeping around with this woman and that woman, and that woman and those men. In other words, he's putting this all in the category of sexual promiscuity. Remember, he said, I'm a product of the 60s, and the 60s had an anything goes mentality. So, to be perfectly clear, heterosexuals who sleep around should be equally upset with him. How dare some guy could say, look, yeah, I slept around with a few women over the years, but how dare you compare that to bestiality? They're not the ones protesting. Phil Robertson is saying, hey, you open the door to one behavior, you justify it, you open the door to others. You say, well, it's different. We love each other. Well, I'm sure men love some of these different women they slept with. This is all part of the sexual revolution of the 60s. There's nothing new with that. It has opened the door to greater and greater promiscuity and greater violations of what God intended. So the gay activists put homosexual identity forward and said, this is a matter of who we are. This is part of the civil rights movement. For Roberts and other conservative Christians say, no, this is about behavior, homosexual behavior. And therefore, gay activism should be placed in the context of the sexual revolution of the same era. Then Robertson quoted from 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, which lists a number of heterosexual sins or general sins, and then speaks also of homosexual practice and says, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Fact. You expect him to change his views now because he's a popular TV celebrity? And you think A&E didn't know that he had these particular views? And then he said, hey, I'm speaking for myself, but speaking of the female sexual organ, it's more desirable than a man's place for expelling feces. I don't know who's listening right now, trying to be sensitive in the midst of this type of discussion. The woman had more to offer a man. Well, look, here, can I give you a simple fact? No matter how much two men may love each other or two women love each other, God did not design men to be with women and women to be with men. And as much as my heart goes out to those who are exclusively same-sex attracted and have struggled to change and have felt rejected and condemned, I'm not going to rewrite the Bible and rewrite natural law and rewrite what's best for society based on that. So what do we do if we agree with him? In terms of our personal lives, I mean, obviously you can sign one of these petitions. You can make clear you're boycotting A&E until they reinstate Mr. Robertson. You can encourage his whole family to stand together with him. If he's out, they're out. And obviously, the TV show itself is quite incidental to the larger issues at hand. But I suggest in the article that those of us who agree fundamentally with Robertson make clear, one, that we're unashamed of our belief in Jesus and in biblical morality, two, that we stand against the mistreatment of all people, including gays and lesbians, and three, we will not support the radical redefinition of marriage regardless of the cost involved, nor do we see cultural capitulation to gay activism as inevitable. Time to take a stand, time to take a stand with grace and wisdom and precision, and time to reach out to our gay friends, neighbors, family members, coworkers, and say, hey, we love you dearly. We still don't agree with homosexual behavior. How can we talk? How can we interact? And don't you need Jesus regardless of how you identify? All right, we'll be back with Thoroughly Jewish Thursday.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let me take one quick call relative to the Duck Dynasty controversy, and then we are shifting our focus to Israel, the Jewish people, and some of the most ridiculous lies being told about the Jews of the past and the present. 866-34-TRUTH. Janice in Woodbridge, Virginia, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call, and my call is not exactly directly in line of your questions, but I formulated it before you posted the question.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay, great. I was in a class, a theology class, and he's a minister, and he's also the professor. And what he said about homosexual marriage and homosexuality is that what is written in the Old Testament in terms of Leviticus and I believe Deuteronomy is different than what's written in the New Testament, and that the New Testament was directing itself towards pedophilia between an adult male and a juvenile male child. And that it did not speak against homosexual marriage. And that's one of those times when an ability to read Greek and Hebrew would have served me quite well.
Yeah.
But I can't do that, and I know you can.
Yeah.
So in
short, Janice, that's completely false. First, Jesus reinforced the moral laws of the Old Testament, which explicitly forbade a man sleeping with a man. And in Matthew, the fifth chapter, he says plainly that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill. And he takes the sexual moral standards of the Old Testament to a deeper level, for example, in the Sermon on the Mount. Then, secondly, in Matthew 15, Jesus says that all sexual immoralities, which means sexual acts outside of marriage, which, of course, is only male and female, defile us. That, of course, includes homosexual acts. And then in Matthew 19, he reinforced that marriage, as God intended, it was one man and one woman together for life. So he reinforces those things. When Paul speaks against homosexual practice in Romans 1, he explicitly talks about women being with women and men being with men, contrary to the created order, nothing to do with pedophilia. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, the two Greek words that are used side by side plainly speak of homosexual practice and do not specifically refer to pedophilia or prostitution. So he was simply giving you standard gay activist talking points, but they're not supported by the best commentaries, and they're not supported by the best commentaries
itself
or the best dictionaries. I document that in my book that'll come out in May, Can You Be Gay and Christian? But if you want a real serious in-depth study on this subject, I recommend you get the book by Robert Gagnon, G-A-G-N-O-N, The Bible and Homosexual Practice. All right? I think that will be tremendously helpful to you. Robert Gagnon. And then my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, come out in May. We'll make this clear as well. Hey, thank you for the call. Standard misinformation that comes up. Okay. Let us switch our subjects now to a thoroughly Jewish subject. Some months ago, I heard, well, some folks, I guess, started posting on YouTube about Israel Zionism. Well, you need to see what Brother Nathaniel has to say. You need to watch his videos. I never heard of Brother Nathaniel. So I just kind of ignored it. Then a few other people posted it, and I said, all right, let me check this out. Now here's what's interesting. I find his views utterly abhorrent. I find his conspiratorial views utterly abhorrent. I find there to be a repetition of standard anti-Semitic libels in many cases. And I would not honestly give the time of day to his position. What happened was when I went to his YouTube channel, I was shocked to see that he has 34,000 plus subscribers. Now, I only recently started my YouTube channel. We've got under 3,000 subscribers. But to put this in context, Brother Nathaniel, who is a Jewish man, much of his biography is challenged by others where he claimed to be living monastically. Others say, what are you talking about? He was homeless and our synagogue used to help him out in the States. Forget this monastic claim. So much of his personal history is disputed, but he is Jewish. He is now living as a Russian Orthodox monk, although interestingly, there is a statement, clergymen and laity of the Russian Church abroad are hereby informed that the actions of Nathaniel Kapner do not have the blessing of the Synod of Bishops. Well, that's interesting. He has more subscribers, though, than, say, William Lane Craig on YouTube. Ravi Zacharias only has a few more thousand subscribers than him. I think my YouTube video, one of my debates with Shmuley on Lee Strobel's show, probably has the most hits of any of my YouTube videos. And I don't know, maybe it's 350,000 or something like that. Well, he has one called Why I Left Judaism with 361,000 views. So we reached out to him, asked him about the possibility of coming on the show. And he wrote back quickly and said, all right, well, I'd like to know more about what's going to happen. And we told him plainly, I believe he's spreading anti-Semitic libels, and I'll confront him with that. And he made clear, well, if it's going to be combative like that, he won't do it. And what he's saying is factual, and it needs no defense. Aha. Well, so be it. We're going to be playing quotes from this gentleman. And I want to expose this as anti-Semitic libels. I want to expose this as falsehood, whatever his motivation, whatever his background, God knows. But these are false, dangerous charges that are spreading on the internet, and we'll debunk them today. Now, what we're doing is taking the two CDs for the entire broadcast today, putting that together with my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. This book came out in 1992. It's been translated into more languages than any book I have written. It has been continuously in print now for over 20 years. And in the book, not only do I document some of the atrocities of professing Christians against Jews and lay out some of the beauty of Jewish tradition in the midst of missing the Messiah, things that will really burden you all the more for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but I talk about some of the famous anti-Semitic lies of the past and the terrible damage that they've done. Some of them are being repeated now by, quote, Brother Nathaniel. You can get Our Hands Are Stained with Blood together with the CDs for today's interview or today's broadcast, which will contain many audio clips from these YouTube videos, for $25 postage paid. If you can help with an additional year-end gift, tax deductible, that would bless us. But please take advantage of this offer. Our Hands Are Stained with Blood together with the CDs of today's radio interview. $25 postage paid. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's focus on some of the claims made by the gentleman known as Brother Nathaniel. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. He says on his website, the Brother Nathaniel Foundation will be working around the clock to make America a Christian nation once again, beginning with bringing Christian symbols back to the public square. And our involvement together, we can make the vision of our foundation a reality. Now, I saw another right-wing website that rejected him because he's Jewish and because he's dancing publicly wearing his Russian Orthodox monk outfit, holding a crucifix, doing kind of a crazy dance on the street to some rock music, and they reject him as a Jew and as a perverted Jew. So it seems there's enough hatred to go around widely. According to his website, he is a monastic with the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia, but I just read a caveat from others saying that they do not recognize him or bless him. This says he is blessed by Bishop Jerome. Jerome is a Poslushnik novice monk, and to pursue a public ministry. He speaks and writes as a former Jew, now an Orthodox Christian, and not in any official capacity for the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia. He resides in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. According to his claims, after 8 years of monastic communal life, he's been engaged in a public mission through his street evangelism and an internet publicist in order to bring a Christian consciousness and influence into every sphere of life. He has quite a few extreme statements. Joey, let's get some of the clips ready, beginning with number three. We'll go to it in a moment. His birth name is Milton Kapner. Claims to be, again, a Jewish convert to Russian Orthodox Christianity. Now, back in 2002, David Abel, writing for the Boston Globe, December 27th, 2002, he writes about a man who showed up a few months ago. Bearded man in the bright Sephardic yarmulke stood out from the synagogue's other congregants. For one thing, he carried a crucifix. During services, he constantly walked in and out of the sanctuary. After the rabbi's sermons, the former salesman would clap, a no-no in any temple. A young Israel of Brookline, the first impulse of most congregants was to help Milton Kapner, a 52-year-old fellow Jew who had been living in his green Buick since the summer. Now, the reason I read this is because, based on his bio, he was living monastically as a monk during this time. According to this report, most recently, Kapner, who plays music for money in Harvard Square, stood in front of the temple and heckled congregants as they arrived for services. I would say he's a man who needs our prayers. Listen to some of what he has to say, though, about the Jewish people. We'll start with clip number three.
These are the so-called chosen people whom deluded and timid Christians cow and cater to in abject submission. But by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jews have relinquished their chosenness and have become instead, as St. Paul asserts, enemies of the gospel and contrary to all men. For fear of the Jews, many Christians are frightened into silence and in many cases acquiesce to the many complaints by Jewry when criticized of anti-Semitism. But as for me, whose life is dedicated to defending the honor of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I will not capitulate.
Ah, so he is making the claim that because the Jews, corporately, rejected Jesus, therefore they are no longer the chosen people, and Paul calls them enemies of the gospel. You know what's remarkable about that? Utterly remarkable about that statement. Aside from ignoring many of the covenant promises that God made in the Hebrew Scriptures, he also quotes from Romans 11:28, which explicitly says the opposite of his point. Stay with me.
Cleansing flame, send the
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. We are looking at some charges made by a Jewish man who now says he's living as a Russian Orthodox monk. Others, Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia, have said he does not have their blessing in terms of what he is speaking. Quote, the clergymen and laity of the Russian Church abroad are hereby informed that the actions of Nathaniel Kapner do not have the blessing of the Synod of Bishops, a statement from the Chancery of the Synod of Bishops. So I'm just reporting what is being reported to me. And I want to be plain. I've had a lot of people on the air and said, okay, we're going to discuss things openly. And some said, look, I really differ with you, and I want to give you an opportunity to defend your viewpoint, but I will be strongly coming against it. That's what we told him. In other words, we're not just going to have a friendly conversation, and you have your view, I have my view, but I am going to be strongly opposing his position, but he's welcome to come on and defend it. Now, I do that all the time. I'm often invited into hostile territory, and it's my joy and privilege to say, fine, you come against me, you load up all your ammunition against me, and I will gladly respond with graciousness and with truth. Give me the opportunity. Glad to have it. He said he would not come on in the midst of a show like that. He said that his work is based on facts and that truth needs no defending against malice. So what about his charge that since the Jewish people rejected Jesus, they have been rejected by God? Now, you bear in mind that carries a lot of other baggage with it through church history that has brought tremendous persecution of the Jewish people through history. You're now rejected. You're now under the wrath of God. You're now under the judgment of God. Whatever comes your way, the more you suffer, the more proof of the truth of Christianity and the folly of Judaism. I mean, these anti-Semitic libels and concepts have been handed down with literally bloody results for centuries. Well, what does Paul say? Romans 8, speaking of the Jewish nation as a whole, not the elect, not the believers within the nation. And let's remember, all the apostles and the first believers, the first thousands, were all Jews. So you cannot say, quote, the Jews rejected Jesus. That remains an immediate overstatement the moment it's spoken. But what does Paul say? As regards the gospel, he's writing to Gentile believers in Rome, they are enemies for your sake, but as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. So when God called the Jewish people in Israel, he did not call based on human ability. He did not call based on standing. He did not call based on numbers, prestige, or obedience. He called based on grace because he loved the fathers. And if there was something he saw, it was something he saw in Abraham, not something that he saw in everyone that followed. His covenant was then based on grace, and those who would not be circumcised would then be outside of the covenant. Otherwise, God said something very plain. In a number of passages in the Old Testament, perhaps the strongest being Jeremiah 31, verses 35 to 37, where he says, no matter what you do, I'll still preserve you. I will discipline you in justice, but I will still preserve you as a people. So Brother Nathaniel quotes this verse, says they're enemies of the gospel. Paul says, yes, in terms of your interaction with them, they are opposing you. But as far as election, they are beloved for the sake of the forefathers. let's listen to another charge that he brings, clip number 4.
Jews themselves do not fear the goyim when prosecuting their agenda, whether it be promoting multiculturalism, the genocidal state of Israel, or even discrediting the messianic claims and historicity of the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, so in his view, Jews are going to hold to their views without fear of what the goyim, the Gentiles, say. But it gets worse. And again, the only reason I'm playing these on the radio is to expose something vile and ugly that is spreading on the internet. And I don't think it's just Muslims and others that might hate the Jewish people or might radically oppose a presence of the Jewish people in the land of Israel. I think there are Christians involved who are getting duped by this nonsense as well. Let's listen to clip number 5.
Finally, the propaganda levers that move the machinery of tyrannical hegemony is fully in the hands of Jews. CBS is owned by Murray Rothstein, who passes himself off as Sumner Redstone. NBC is owned by Brian Roberts. ABC is owned by Sidney Bass, whose CEO is Robert Iger. And CNN is primarily owned by Israeli multimillionaire Aviv Novo. America has become an indentured slave to the Jews who rule America. Only the historic church, independent of Jewish control, who can muster up the guts to stand up for the few who expose the Jewish evil, can deliver America from the most pernicious tyranny the world has ever seen.
Okay, this is meant to be taken seriously. This is not some paid comedian getting up with some anti-Jewish shtick and giving a hostile, mocking presentation. No, that is not what is happening here. What is happening is a Jewish man living as a Russian Orthodox monk is spreading pernicious information against the Jews, and satanic activity being what it is, meaning the devil ultimately wants to destroy the Jewish people, wipe them out. Why? Because it makes God into a liar, because he said they'll never be wiped out. Why? Because they do have a role to play in the end in welcoming back the Messiah. Why? Because God set his love on the Jewish people, not in sense of saving them more than someone else or loving them more than someone else. In other words, whoever you are, Jew, Gentile, in Jesus, you're loved just the same. There is no caste system, no class system, no higher, lower, better, worse. In Jesus, black and white are the same, male and female are the same, Jew and Gentile are the same. We have equal standing in God. We may have different callings and giftings, but we have equal standing in God. So that's clear. But because God chose Israel for a redemptive role of service in the world, the law coming through Israel, the prophets coming through Israel, the Messiah coming through Israel, the apostles coming through Israel, if the devil can destroy the Jewish people in Israel, all the more victory for him. So there are always these anti-Semitic flames that are out there, and you throw a little fuel in that fire, and it's amazing what gets generated. So here's the question then. What about the fact that you do have a lot of Jews in higher places in the media? What do we make of that? I know I'm Jewish and I'm talking to you, but the great majority of people on this radio station, broadcasting, whatever station you listen to, they're not Jews. And I'm quite sure that the owners of the different networks that I'm on are not Jews. But why do you think all these other big networks and Hollywood industry leaders are, why are so many Jewish? And look at how much ungodly stuff God, you see. No, here's what I see. I see that Jews have been called by God as world changers. And when we cooperate with him, we do a wonderful job. And you have people like Moses and Isaiah and Paul and others who've had an extraordinary impact for the purposes of God through the world. And when we are not cooperating with God, you have people like Karl Marx who have very different perspectives, or somebody like, I'm not comparing in terms of influence, but in terms of just another negative Jewish figure in terms of morality and things like that, say a Howard Stern or a Jerry Springer. Also, as Jews have had a better educational ethic many times through the centuries, that helps them get ahead in other areas. But it's not that there is this Jewish conspiracy to take over the world. In fact, you know the saying, if you get two Jews in the same room, you get three different opinions. And yet people believe this stuff. They are, and then look, you know, Alan Greenspan, look at how long he's, you know, heading up the Fed, you know, the monetary system. You got other Jews heading, see, it's a Jewish conspiracy to control and take over the world. Isn't it a shame then, with all this Jewish conspiracy, that we couldn't stop the Holocaust, that we couldn't stop the pogroms under Stalin, that we couldn't stop the Crusades and Inquisition when they touched on us, that we couldn't stop being scattered around the world, that we couldn't stop in the past, the Assyrians from decimating the 10 northern tribes and the Babylonians, the southern kingdom of Judah, and we couldn't stop the Roman onslaught in the early centuries of this era and the scattering of our people and the destruction of Jerusalem, and we still haven't been able to rebuild the temple ever since then, and there's still constant terror attacks against our people, and Israelis have to send their sons and daughters both into war, into military service just to keep the nation safe. It's amazing with all this power we have that we haven't been able to do a better job of protecting ourselves from getting decimated. All right, a lot more to come. Take some calls when we come back as well.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
They killed 6 men and 5 women, but they shot them out in pieces. Shot them. You know, they had to put them in a sheet when they buried them. I was seeing all that.
This is the voice of Ida Wolin speaking in 1983, firsthand account of a pogrom that took place in Russia in 1906. These were organized attacks against Jews in different communities where they would be brutalized, sometimes driven out of their communities, and often done with the sanction of the Russian Orthodox Church. I'm sure there are many also within the church that were appalled by it, but unfortunately, when anti-Semitism spreads, when you have this view of the demonic nature of the Jews, the evil Jews, then time to persecute them. After all, they are the Christ killers. If they are the Christ killers and Christ is God, they are the killers of God. Deicide! You say, oh, come on. No, no, no. A whole lot of Jewish blood has been shed over that, tragically. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me play one more clip from Brother Nathaniel, and then we'll go to the phones. Let's play clip number 6.
Jewish comedians also love to make Gentiles laugh to distract them from Jewish global designs to control us all.
Sorry to laugh. But can you believe that? In fact, let's listen to that one more time. He's saying that Jewish comedians make us laugh. Why? Let's listen to that again.
Jewish comedians also love to make Gentiles laugh to distract them from Jewish global designs to control us all.
Okay, that is a crazy statement. That statement is crazy. And if anyone takes it seriously, they need to have their heads and maybe their hearts examined. Jewish comedians make you laugh so that you won't notice, you Gentiles laugh, so you won't notice that they're trying to take over the world? Are you serious? People watch this stuff and think it's real. You know, to me, this is further proof of the supernatural nature of anti-Semitism, that it is that demonically inspired that people believe that. Friends, in my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, I have a bunch of other lies that have been told about the Jews that are outrageous, that are shocking, that are crazy. You'll read it. You may laugh out loud, like, who would believe this, until you realize Jewish blood has been shed over this. All documented in my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. I'll tell you about that in a moment. All right, let me grab one thoroughly Jewish phone call. Hey, Alan, thanks for holding. Lebanon, Connecticut, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Okay, Dr. Brown, a privilege to talk to you. This seems mysterious to me. Why did Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh Kadosh Baruch Hu, God that is, hallowed be that name, tell Abraham and Moses that the sign of the covenant is circumcision? That seems kind of unkind. Can you kind of shed light on the mystery why that as a sign of the covenant?
Yeah, obviously it's open for debate because of the fact that the Bible doesn't tell us explicitly. But first, there were others in the land that did practice circumcision. This was not an unknown custom. That's why the Philistines who came in, Aegean sea peoples who came in, were known as the uncircumcised Philistines, because circumcision was practiced in the land of Canaan and by some of the other surrounding nations. So on the one hand, it was physically joining Abraham's seed with the land and with a custom in the land. It also, because it does touch a man's reproductive organ, does then tie in with covenant and seed and things like that. Were there health benefits to it? That can be debated. Some would say yes as well, so it was ultimately a positive. But again, it did associate him with the land, and it did tie in progeny, destiny, seed with the covenant of God. Those could be some of the reasons for it. Beyond that, it's speculation.
Very kind of you. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. I think it's confirmed. Let me just see here. From what I can tell, well, let's just pray that it happens. My Duck Dynasty article circulated, a colleague of mine contacted folks at Piers Morgan and said, why don't you have him on, have Michael Brown on to discuss this tonight. So as far as I can tell, it's supposed to happen. But stay tuned. I may not know for sure during the broadcast time, but just stay tuned on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, ASK Dr. Brown on Facebook or on Twitter. We'll do our best to let you know what is happening with that, but it would be 9 o'clock tonight if everything goes well, and we'll get to talk about the Duck Dynasty issue, homosexual issues with Piers Morgan. I know folks have been praying for some time that we have the opportunity to do that in a setting like this, so if this is the right time for it, wonderful. We will keep you posted on that. If you get my emails, maybe we could shoot out an e-blast about that as well. I think we'll still have staff around to be able to do that. So if you don't get my emails, just go to askdrbrown.org and you'll see a little email icon. Just click on that and you'll be able to take advantage of these announcements. Here's what encourages me. There's a lot of junk out there. There are a lot of lies out there. There's a lot of misinformation out there. And there's something very tragic. I'll get to the encouraging part in a moment, but there's something very, very tragic, which is this, that people are not sympathetic with Israel, not sympathetic towards the Jewish people, unless the Jews are the terribly persecuted underdogs. Shortly after the Holocaust, there could be more Jewish sympathy. But now you get two generations removed and Israel defending itself in the land, there's less sympathy and the old anti-Jewish hostilities rise. What encourages me is that God who started the work will finish it. And God did promise to regather our people. And I say that as a Jew when I say our. And God did promise to turn our hearts back to him. And God did say that even though there would be the hostility of the nations against us, that ultimately he'll fight for us, not because of our good works, but because of his grace. And certainly every follower of Jesus should relate to that, not by our good works, but by his grace. I really encourage you to get my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. That single book has done more to turn Christian hearts toward Israel and the Jewish people. Even some who used to be anti-Zionist or even anti-Semitic had a change of heart after reading it. And it's got a lot of shocking information. You might wish it wasn't true, but it is. But it ends with great hope, redemption. You can get the book together with the CDs from today's broadcast. $25, postage paid, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. The nations will rise in hostility, but the purposes of God for his people will ultimately be Well, I've got a Duck Dynasty update for you, and then we'll focus on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday and some of the most shocking comments you've ever heard coming from a Jew.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, a whole lot is happening in the world. Had a relaxing night, took the grandkids to the movie Frozen. It was literally chilling out. I mean, not chilling out in the cold, but just enjoying the popcorn and chocolate and hanging out with two of our grandkids that live here. But so much swirling. Got home and immediately wrote an article about the Duck Dynasty controversy that is big, big news across the nation. Phil Robertson, the patriarch of Duck Dynasty, making statements that were published in GQ magazine, immediately condemned by gay activists. And within a day, he issued not an apology, but a clarification. And then within the day, A&E said he is suspended from filming. I wrote an article on this that is going viral already. It's been shared now in the last 6 hours over 8,000 times. So that's a lot. I read a lot of articles, and that's a lot to be shared that much this quickly. That's just on one website. Another website, it's been shared, what, about 3,000 times already? So, it's not because of my great article. It's because the subject is so major. There is a Facebook page. There are several, actually, but there is one of them which is saying we're going to boycott this TV station until Phil Robertson is put back on Duck Dynasty. And it now has 601,000 likes. So something's going on with this of major import. I want to tell you more about that in a little while. And not only that, we will focus on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday issues. There is a gentleman who's become somewhat of an internet sensation. He's got more subscribers on the internet right now than William Lane Craig, 34,000 plus subscribing to his videos. And to me, what I've watched is conspiratorial nonsense. I don't mean every single one, but conspiratorial nonsense and classical anti-Semitism being restated and repackaged. The evil Jews are to blame. So we'll be playing some of his clips. We'll be interacting with that. We'll be taking your Jewish-related calls as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Regarding Phil Robertson's statements, while some of what he said could certainly be considered crude, that would be, as I take it, his style of communication, backwoods Louisiana, you might say. But the fundamental things he was saying were accurate. That homosexual behavior is part of the larger sexual revolution of the 60s and an anything-goes mentality. That's what we've been living in for a generation plus. And that the Bible does speak against homosexual behavior plainly. And that God designed a man for a woman and a woman for a man, and that is the way it is supposed to be. So those simple truths, and really they are very, very simple, have not been stated in the politically correct way, but they have created a firestorm, and I don't see this firestorm going away quickly. I don't see Phil Robertson or his family backing down. I would hope that they will stand with him and say, if he's suspended, we're suspended. And I don't see A&E backing down quickly because of the power of the gay lobby in media. Where's it going to go? That remains to be seen. What we need to do is take this moment and speak the truth in love with precision, accuracy, grace, and wisdom. So who is Brother Nathaniel Milton Kapner? Who is he? We'll talk about when we come back.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. Again, just brief history for those just joining us. I was told a few months ago in relationship, I think, to one of my videos on Israel, is Israel an evil occupier? And a few people, not many, said, well, you need to see what Brother Nathaniel's saying, because he's telling you the truth, that the evil Jews hurting the Palestinians and so on and so forth. And I said, oh, I've never heard of him, kind of ignored it. Someone else posted. I tried to look into it a little bit. And what I saw was, to me, pretty bizarre. It was a Jewish man who's now living as a Russian Orthodox monk. He claims to have been monastic for quite a few years. There are other reports that would strongly call this into question and say he was living out of his car and performing music at Harvard Square for money at the time that he claimed to be living as a monastic. That seems to be pretty well documented, but that's somewhat secondary. He's Jewish, and I guess he'd identify as a former Jew now. And you talk about an anti-Semitic libel of the past. Jews control the media. Jews control the money. Jews trying to take over the world. Even, we got to play this one again, clip number six. You got to hear this. And the reason I'm talking about this is because he's got a decent following online, and people actually believe this nonsense. Listen to this statement again.
Jewish comedians also love to make Gentiles laugh to distract them from Jewish global designs to control us all.
You want to hear that once more? You want to hear one of the most absurd, ridiculous statements you will ever hear. The only thing that makes it sobering at all is that some people believe it to be true. I want to play it one more time.
Jewish comedians also love to make Gentiles laugh to distract them from Jewish global designs to control us all.
Ah, that is what Seinfeld was all about. That is what a comic movie with Adam Sandler is all about. You see, you didn't know that. You just thought they were Jewish entertainers. You just thought they were Jewish comedians. No. They were making you laugh to distract you while they take over the world. You say, who would believe? People believe this nonsense. Look, there are people in the Middle Ages who believe that the reason Jews wore a head covering, yarmulkes, was to cover up the horns that were on their head. Yes, people actually believe that. There are people who actually believe that there is a person called a wandering Jew, that he's been spotted in different places through the centuries, this Jew who is consigned to endlessly wander as a sign of judgment on the Jews. Jews have been killed over this. 1215, the Fourth Lateran Council of the Catholic Church formally declared that the emblems, the wafer and the juice or the wine, literally became the body and blood of Jesus. In point of fact, after that happened, there were some, quote, Christians who said, oh, now the Jews are going to get back at Christ, and they're going to kidnap and torture the wafer because it's literally the body of Christ. You say, no one believes. People believe that, and Jewish communities were persecuted and even burned at the stake for allegedly kidnapping and torturing wafers. Yeah, and this is one believed to this day in some of the Muslim world, that every year when Jewish matzah is made, that one of the ingredients in the unleavened bread is the blood of Christians. Obviously, you work in now kidnapped blood of Muslim children as part of the myth as well. You say no one believes that. People believe it in some cases by the millions. And a lot of the nonsense comes from what's called the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. It's a notorious forgery over a century old that was put out by Russian intelligence. And it has been documented and proven to be a forgery, but it is allegedly secret counsel that was overheard at a cemetery of Jewish conspiratorial goals where There are 300 secret Jewish leaders ready to emerge in power and take over the world at any given moment. The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. It is still a bestseller in the Muslim world. You can go to book vendors on streets of New York City and you'll see it sells out quickly. The conspiratorialists love it. Brother Nathaniel is one of those. Before we go to the phones, let's listen to clip number 7, where he talks about protocol number 9.
Protocol number 9 states, "We will corrupt the youth of the Goyim by rearing them in principles which are known to us as false." Can we not see a fulfillment of this in our public schools and mainstream media? The American Federation of Teachers, founded by Albert Shankar, now led by Randy Weingarten, and the Anti-Defamation League, through their Early Childhood Institute, are filling young people's minds, whose sexuality has not even yet budded, with homosexuality and lesbianism.
Ah, the Jews are behind it. See, here's what happens. You say, yeah, but aren't a lot of Jews involved in education? Yeah. And aren't a lot of them secular and away from biblical values? Yeah. And aren't a lot of them involved with teaching our kids things that we differ with? Yeah. Is it because of Jewish conspiracy? No. It's because they are Jews who are influential people, well-educated and active, and do not share biblical values. There's no conspiracy. They don't sit around as Jews and say, oh, let's do this. And in fact, religious Jews militantly oppose this. Yeah, but people believe it. And friends, it's not just facts that will open eyes. It is prayer, spiritual revelation. Now, we did, to be clear, we did invite Brother Nathaniel on the air. He wrote back and said, all right, he wanted to know more about the show. We told him plainly that I believe what he's saying is anti-Semitic and I would be challenging him on it. And he said, no, he will not be on in a setting like that. That's his prerogative. I understand it. Again, I walk through those doors all the time. But he said this will evidently not be a discussion but an attack. He said, my work is based on facts. Truth needs no defending against malice. Oh, like the truth that Jewish comedians get Gentiles to laugh so you won't notice they're trying to take over the world. Truth and facts like that. All right, let's go to the phones. Bob in Chicago, Illinois, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. A pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
I find your broadcast, books and lessons very edifying. And I really hate to sideswipe you like this, but are you aware of a recent video by Rabbi Shapira in which he pretty much denies the doctrine of the Trinity and seems to preach modalism?
Sure, I'm aware. You don't think that I wouldn't be right in the thick of this controversy and discussion?
Okay, well, I kind of figured you would, but I didn't want to catch you off guard like that. Let me just explain.
Okay. I've interacted with Rabbi Shapira about this Messianic Jewish rabbi, and he sent me very, very detailed explanation and statements that I'm still looking to go through very carefully. Number one, Let's remember that he strongly upholds the deity of Yeshua. He strongly upholds the deity of the Messiah, which is very important. Now, is he a modalist, believing that there is one God who manifests himself as Father, Son, and Spirit? Is he therefore denying the doctrine of Trinity, that God, who is one, is complex in his unity and is Father, Son, and Spirit, and yet one God, three divine persons? He definitely rejects the Christian language. There's no question about that. He does not identify with the Christian terminology of Trinity. He presents it in harmony with statements in Jewish mysticism about different faces of God, manifestations, elements, and that would be the three that we speak of. And I'm doing my best, before I respond more fully, to fully understand his position. So he sent me detailed explanations. He's referred me back to parts of Return of the Kosher Pig. In his view, there are several dozen minor errors to correct in Return of the Kosher Pig, that he's doing that, but that his main points stand. He's putting out series of articles now and videos responding to counter-missionaries. Some of these counter-missionaries I've known for years and count them as personal friends in the midst of our differences. And I've just been so incredibly busy between writing Authentic Fire, then traveling to India, then traveling to China, and then having a bunch of other writing deadlines, even now at the holiday season. To be perfectly honest, I have not been able to review carefully all of the criticisms of the counter-missionaries. I have not been able to review carefully Rabbi Shapira's responses, nor have I been able to really try to wrap my mind around what he's saying about his beliefs. So there is no avoiding the issue here. I'm not trying to sidestep anything. I simply have not been able to look at it carefully and really understand what he's saying and where things fall. So we will come back to it. It's unavoidable, Bob, and it's very important. And I do thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
All right. Back with more.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. I want to repeat a statement that has been made by the Chancery of the Synod of Bishops of the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia, July 19th, 2013. It has recently received repeated complaints about the activities of and statements made by a certain Nathaniel Kapner, who lives in the territory of the Western American Diocese but has no relation to it. The clergymen and laity of the Russian Church abroad are hereby informed that the actions of Nathaniel Kapner do not have the blessing of the Synod of Bishops. Profoundly saddened by the state of his soul, we call upon Nathaniel Kapner to refrain from posting on the internet to a life of repentance, of peace in Christ, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all, Colossians 3:11. And it is signed by the Archbishop of Western America in San Francisco and Secretary of the Synod of Bishops. You say, well, why even draw attention to someone like that? Simply because of the amount of people that have been following him on internet. Some of his videos have been viewed several hundred thousand times, and it is standard truth mixed with error. The basic hypothesis being that the Jews are evil to the core, that the Jews are seeking to take over the world. And you want to talk about conspiratorial theories. Matt, take a look. I didn't have a chance to look at this one, but take a look at the one, what really happened at Sandy Hook, the Sandy Hook massacre. This has been viewed 136,000 times. Now, bear in mind, this is not like a Justin Bieber video or Gangnam Style, whatever, you know, some of these things that are viewed hundreds of millions of times. But for someone talking about a news event, 130,000 views, that's a good amount of views. He's got another one viewed 174,000 times. Did Israel's Mossad do 9/11? And look, there are people who believe that no Jews were killed in the terrorist attacks 9/11. Yeah, the people actually believe that. They ever say it to my face, I say, what about my wife's brother? Jewish, yeah, uh-huh. But, one of tragically many, and every life that was taken, Jew, Gentile, whatever background, was a tragedy on that day. People believe this stuff because they are prone to believe conspiratorial theories against Jews. It's just, for whatever reason, there seems to be a tendency among people to believe this kind of stuff. So, thanks, Matt. Quote Brother Nathaniel, basically saying that Sandy Hook, the horrific massacre that took place last year, was basically a Zionist conspiracy. Oh, God help the people who believe this nonsense. I've got more clips to play for you, but let's go to the phones. Barbara in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, thank you for your wonderful radio program. My question is, when the New Testament uses the term Israel, are they talking about non-believing Jews, or does that overlap with Jewish Christians?
In most cases, when Israel is being spoken of, it's being spoken of as the people as a whole, the nation as a whole, in the vast majority of cases. For example, in Acts 2, where Peter preaches, "Let all the house of Israel know with assurance God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." Obviously, all the house of Israel is speaking of the nation as a whole. And Paul in Romans 9 through 11, 10 times speaks of Israel referring to the nation as a whole. One time, he speaks of the Israel within Israel when he says, "Not all who are Israel are actually Israel." So there is a remnant within the nation. There is a remnant within the nation that is called Israel, or in Galatians 6:16, the Israel of God. But most of the time in the New Testament, and I document this in my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, I go through the references. The great majority of the time it is used to refer to the nation and people as a whole. A couple of times used specifically to refer to Jewish believers, and never used to refer to Gentiles.
Okay, so a person who's a Jewish believer, they are of the nation of Israel and also of the church. So those expressions overlap. Is that right?
Yeah, a Jewish believer in Jesus is part of the body of Messiah, part of the church, the same way as a Gentile believer in Jesus is. But a Jewish believer in Jesus is also part of the physical nation of Israel. The only way to get into God's kingdom, the only way to be with him forever, is through Jesus the Messiah. We understand that. But when a Jewish person is saved, that they do not lose their contact or association or connection to their people. Hence Paul mourning in Romans 9, saying, "I wish I could be cut off from the Messiah for the sake of my people, Israel."
Okay, so those are not, it's not three mutually exclusive groups, nations and Israel and church. And like, for example, I am not Jewish, but would I be considered a Gentile and a Christian?
Yeah, yeah. A Christian is simply a follower of Messiah, a Christ-like one, a Messianic. So I'm a Messianic Jew, and you're a Messianic Gentile, or I'm a Jewish Christian, you're a Gentile Christian, or you're a Gentile follower of Jesus, I'm a Jewish follower of Jesus. In the same way, you're a female follower of Jesus, I'm a male follower of Jesus, but we have equal status. We're one in the Messiah. It's not that I have better access or you have better access, but we may have distinct callings. In other words, I can't do what you can do as a woman. You can't do what I can do as a man. Gentile can do certain things. Jew can do certain things. So we have our distinctive callings and purposes within the body.
Okay, I understand that completely. When a Jewish person accepts Christ as their Savior, they don't stop being Jewish. All right. Then I have one final question also. The Old Testament saints like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and those people, are they considered part of the church, or is there a distinction?
All right. Stay right there, Barbara. A wonderful question, but I'm out of time. But I'm going to answer on the other side of the break. So momentarily, we'll be back with you. Friends, I have three chapters in my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, that examines the question, has the church replaced Israel? I have two whole chapters dealing with lies and myths about modern Israel and the Jewish people. The whole book is interspersed with shocking stories about Jewish persecution at the hands of so-called Christians, including some of the horrific words of Martin Luther. You'll be shocked as you read. You'll be pained, but your heart will be joined with the Jewish people, and then you'll have a vision of faith to pray for Israel's salvation. This book has been continuously in print since 1992, been translated into more languages than any book I've written, continues to turn hearts by God's grace. You can get the book today with the CDs of the 2 hours of fascinating radio broadcasts. We've been talking about a lot of fascinating subjects. $25 postage paid, available by phone only, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Whatever you can do to help at the end of the year will be a tremendous blessing to us. Thank you. Make sure you get the book for yourselves.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire. Oh, boy. According to so-called Brother Nathaniel, who claims to be a Russian Orthodox monk, Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia, but they have renounced him, according to a statement July 19th, 2013, and said they're saddened by the state of his soul, so we do pray for him. We pray that the Lord will bring him to real repentance and real freedom, real wholeness in the Lord. But he claims about the Sandy Hook massacre, quote, that there's more to Sandy Hook than what the Jewish-run press are telling us, that the Jewish agenda is pursuing a national gun registry. So it's basically a Zionist conspiracy for gun control. Oh, God help the people who believe in this nonsense. Okay, back to Barbara in Houston. Your question was the believers from the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezra, Nehemiah, etc. Are these people part of the, quote, church? If you use a different word, Barbara, if you use God's congregation or God's people, the answer is obviously yes. Hebrews 11 speaks of those who died before the Messiah in faith, that they were not complete without us. So there is this aspect of union together in the Lord, in the same family and body. Let's also remember that Paul teaches that Abraham was the father of faith to the uncircumcised because he was pronounced the father of faith, or his faith made him righteous before he was circumcised and then after he was circumcised. So he's the father of Gentile believers and Jewish believers. And Galatians 3 tells us that all believers are then Abraham's seed. So we're all part of the same spiritual family, all one in the Lord. And yet the fullness was not experienced until after the cross. In that sense, again, the word church, if you realize that that's not the best way to say it in English, congregation would be better. If you say, are these part of God's congregation, God's chosen people or God's own people through history, the answer is obviously yes.
Okay. Well, I have more questions, but they're not, I mean, in connection with that, but they're not thoroughly Jewish. So is tomorrow the general question day?
Yeah. Well, tell you what. Since you held through the break, I've got 2 minutes before the next break. Throw out one general question. I'll see if I can give you a quick answer.
Hey, on the concept of the rapture of the church, now I haven't been listening to you long enough to know if you believe that, but the rapture of the church, would that then include, let's say the pre-tribulation, pre-millennial position, would that include the Old Testament saints then?
Yeah, well, actually, I don't hold to a pre-trib rapture, but when Jesus does return, all those who are in the graves, his people, Old Testament, New Testament believers who died, will be raised together, and those of us who are alive will be caught up to meet him together in the air. I believe it'll be at the end of whatever tribulation there is on the earth, and we will accompany him back to the earth. We'll be caught up with him and accompany him back to the earth. However, it will be all those who died in the Lord before this. So Old Testament, New Testament saints, everyone that died right up until that final moment in the Lord will be resurrected. Those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up and glorified on the spot. And together we will forever be with the Lord. And that's what we want to emphasize. Hey, thank you for the call and for listening, Barbara. I do appreciate it. Hey, it does look like I'm going to be on the Piers Morgan show tonight to talk about Duck Dynasty, to talk about Phil Robertson's comments. So let's just really pray that the Lord will give me the ability to get out his position, his voice, in the right way.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, one of the things that made me realize that anti-Semitism ultimately has demonic roots was the bizarre nature of the lies that were believed. When I carefully considered anti-Semitism some years ago, we're talking about that with one particular individual that I believe is espousing anti-Semitic information, lies, libels today, known as Brother Nathaniel on the internet. And we're talking about that on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, 866-34-TRUTH. But as I began to look in depth at anti-Semitism and asked why the Jews, why always the Jews? Well, one reason would be, well, because they're more wicked than everyone else. And they are taking over the world, and they do control the money and this and that. Well, the problem is through much of Jewish history, we've been anything but the top, the head. Often we've been the tail. Often, look, Jews got into money lending largely in past centuries because they were not allowed to have other jobs in the society. And many times Jews were terribly impoverished. If you ever saw Fiddler on the Roof, that gave a picture of how Jews lived in Eastern Europe through a good part of their history in the last several centuries. So the idea that Jews control everything, I mean, obviously it hasn't worked out like that historically by any means. And when you look at the intense violence against the Jews in so many situations, in an irrational hatred, irrational lies being told, do you know that during the Black Plague in the Middle Ages, where in some communities as many as a third of the population was wiped out, some could even be higher than that, Jews did not die with as high numbers. The best answer being because of Jewish hygiene, because of Torah law, because of certain things that they would be separated from. Therefore, the plague did not spread as badly among them, but plenty of Jews died as well. Well, who's responsible for the Black Plague? It must be those Jews. It's them. And there was actually a lie that was spread that Jews started the Black Plague. And they had a recipe with like body parts of monkeys and elements of the Lord's Supper and other things like that. And they poisoned the wells and started the plague. You say, who would believe it? People did, because you got to find a scapegoat. And thousands of Jews were killed because of this. And the list goes on and on. I document many of these lies in my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. And there are lies told about the Jews to this day having to do with the modern state of Israel. Listen, I just saw a stat that claimed that the rate of prostitution in Israel, is higher than in any other nation in the world. Could that be true? Could be. And it wouldn't surprise me because I'm not looking at modern Israel as righteous. I'm fully aware that Tel Aviv, for example, was voted the most gay-friendly city in the world in gay polls. In fact, as I remember it, it got like 43% of the vote, and the number two city maybe got like 14%. Every woman serving the Israeli army is given two free abortions. I'm not. And now, in the midst of this, there are many things that Israel does ethically. You'll see Israel at the front lines of world relief when there's tragedy. You'll see Christians there. You'll also see Israel there. And you'll see that there's an ethic in the Israeli Defense Forces. They study ethics first. They're not allowed to leave base without their ID and without their ethics card that talks about how they have to treat others and avoid civilian casualties and things like that. There are many things that Israel does with a high ethic. And you know, famous statements by leaders like former Prime Minister Golda Meir, the late Golda Meir, who said, you know, to Arab leaders and Muslim leaders, you know, we can forgive you for killing our children, but it's harder to forgive, I'm paraphrasing, for getting us in a war where we killed your children. There are many wonderful ethical things about Israel, but Israel is hardly a righteous nation. And I have no argument with that. And religious Jews in Israel hotly oppose the gospel. I could go into very, very religious Jewish areas, and if I began to preach Jesus Yeshua, it would start a riot, and my own life could be endangered because I would really be provoking something. And by the way, that would be a very wrong thing to do. That would be provoking a riot. I'd be the one responsible for it, okay? There is wisdom to be used in the sharing of the gospel. And if God sends someone to proclaim, that's God's business. But here's my point. When you look at the lies that are told and the things that are believed, you shake your head and say, nobody could believe it. Look, I was for some years in New York City a lot with a lot of taxi rides to and from where I was going a few years after 9/11. And I'd have Muslim taxi drivers start to talk to me. And somehow they didn't know I was Jewish. And they'd explain how Israel was behind 9/11. Or one Pakistani cab driver explained that the reason for anti-Semitism is because Jews are so wicked. That's why everybody hates the Jews. Listen to Brother Nathaniel as he justifies some of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. By the way, according to the protocols, at the end, once Jews take over the world, they will bring the entire world into the worship of the Hindu god Vishnu. I am serious. I am very serious. Clip number 8.
And in the media, one need look no further than Sumner Redstone's born Murray Rothstein, MTV, and his homosexual television channel, Logo, which bombards our youth with the glorification of fornication and sexual perversion.
All right, so because you have a lot of godlessness in the media, and because you have a lot of Jewish influence in the media, that affirms protocol number 9 is the Jews are allegedly secretly trying to take over the world. Again, the simple explanation is that Jews in America have been very influential, that some of it has to do with educational background, some of it has to do with divine calling to be world changers, for better or for worse. And because Jews have been influential in the media, most of them have been influential, have not been godly, then they have therefore exported godless values, just like Gentile leaders in the media, Gentile producers and Gentile directors and Gentile network owners that have not been godly people. Is that a Gentile conspiracy? No. Is it a Jewish conspiracy? No. It is just godlessness. It is secular values. It is worldliness. Let's listen to clip number 9. Here he is trying to tell us, Brother Nathaniel is, that the protocols of the Elders of Zion are accurate. Look at protocol number 10.
Turning to the political realm, protocol number 10 states, we were the first to cry, liberty, equality, fraternity. When we introduced into state organisms the poison of liberalism, states have been seized with a mortal illness. Surely, protocol 10's fulfillment can be seen with the final overthrow of Christian monarchies during World War I. The aftermath of the war saw the balkanization of the Austrian Empire, and with the murder of Tsar Nicholas II by Jewish Bolsheviks, the reign of godless communism was established.
Ah, well, in point of fact, this is now new information that World War I was basically the backdrop for Jews to overthrow Christian monarchies. You say, well, maybe it's true. Maybe they were aliens. Maybe Jews are really aliens. And maybe Elvis really is alive. And maybe Santa Claus is coming down your chimney in a few days. I mean, when people believe, well, I'd say Easter Bunny, Joe, except it's the wrong time of the year. In point of fact, friends, this is some of the nonsense that we deal with, and it's best, yeah, just as believable. I agree, Joey, just as believable. The thing is, the Easter Bunny is a little more friendly image. And here, I want to play it one more time. Is it clip number six? I want to play this one more time. If you want to know what Jewish comedians are really about and what was really behind a TV show like Seinfeld, this is the explanation from Brother Nathaniel.
Jewish comedians also love to make Gentiles laugh, to distract them from Jewish global designs to control us all.
And see, that's why I'm on the air. As a Jew, a follower of Jesus, but as a Jew, I am distracting you as we take over the world. So as you listen to this broadcast, Jews are secretly taking over the entire world. And I am distracting. Okay, sorry for the sarcasm, but how do you even react to abject nonsense like that? Back with more still.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks for joining us on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday as we talk about some of the crazy anti-Semitic libels, some of the crazy charges that have been brought against Jews in history. One more from Brother Nathaniel, a man that needs our prayers for repentance and return to truth. Let us play clip number 10.
Finally, in the social realm, protocol number 14 states, when we come into our kingdom, it will be undesirable that there should exist any other religion than ours as the chosen people. We shall forbid Christ. One needs only to see what has happened to Christmas for proof of this protocol's fulfillment. Public displays of nativity scenes have become illegal via the lie, separation of church and state, and declarations of Merry Christmas have been litigated away by the high-paid lawyers of the Jewish-run and funded ACLU.
Again, what's interesting here is that there is Jewish culpability, that many of the causes we stand for example, pro-life, that you'll have leaders, pro-abortion leaders who are Jewish, almost all secular. The same thing when it comes to redefining marriage and family. Same thing when it comes to faith versus atheism. Often on the other side of the argument from us are Jewish attorneys and people of the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union. They often are Jewish. Southern Poverty Law Center will have a strong Jewish presence in opposing many of the values we stand for, aside from some good that they've done in other areas as well. I understand that. It's not because of a Jewish conspiracy. And in point of fact, it's a relatively recent thing because for most of Jewish history, Jews were more religious than secular. The rise of secular Judaism or Reform Judaism, which then becomes more and more secular and liberal, is a phenomenon primarily, not exclusively, but primarily of the last couple hundred years. But the fact is, in Israel, you can preach Jesus. You can, Messianic Jews can worship as Messianic Jews. They can hold public baptisms. They don't have to do it secretly. And Christians can freely practice their faith in Israel. Yeah, so in point of fact, this idea that if Jews come into power, they will wipe out any Christian witness historically is not true. Now, I do believe that as we get closer to the end of the age and there is a rise in religious Judaism, that there'll be more of a conflict with the Gospels similar to what we saw in the Gospels and Acts. And that's understandable. It is not because of a Jewish conspiracy to take over the world. It's because of traditional Jews believing that they have to live traditionally, and that means rejecting Jesus. Our job is to show them that the most Jewish thing they could do in loyalty to God is to believe in Jesus, Yeshua. What's unfortunate, though, is this nonsense of this world conspiracy or the evil Israelis and an apartheid state and ethnic cleansing in the Middle East. And if this stuff spreads, people believe it. As strange a figure as Brother Nathaniel may be on the video, certainly a different kind of guy when you actually see him. See some of the videos, a very different type of person, even renounced by the church she claims to be part of, according to a statement that I have read today. people do take it seriously. And that's why we need to fight this, primarily with prayer, facts as well, but especially prayer. Let's go to the phones. Shirley in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and all of it. I just want to say thank you. I want to thank you for being a Christian. And I want to thank you for coming out as boldly as you do. And I just want to say something that the people we need to be talking about today are the Jewish people who worship God, who believe in God. They are the ones in my neighborhood down the street who wear their yarmulkes and they love the Lord. And I want to say that those people who don't, who have not come over, they hurt. It's taken me so long to realize these people are lost, and they hurt when they see symbols of Christianity and they see symbols of Christmas and holiday and smiles. They hurt. And so I, as a Christian, will have to remember that there's hurt and pain in their hearts because they are lost. I remember when I was lost. But I want to thank you for all that you do to bring the people to Christ.
Well, thank you, Shirley, for that. And obviously, it's my heart to see Jew and Gentile follow Jesus, embrace him as Messiah. And I'm glad you recognize the sincerity of many religious Jews. I'm sure they'll tell you they're fine, they're not hurting. I would say there is something missing ultimately because they don't know the Lord. And you take that pain, Shirley, and turn it into intercession, as I'm sure you do. Thank you for it. I do appreciate it. Hey, friends, pray as tonight I'm scheduled, according to information that I have, to be on with Piers Morgan to talk about the Duck Dynasty issues and the Phil Robertson statements. I wrote an article on it. If you haven't read my article yet, go to askdrbrown.org and just click on latest article. All right. So Don Lemon is going to be on as well. Okay, Don Lemon, who's openly gay broadcaster on CNN as well. That would be great if we could be on the same time and have some dialogue together about that. There were other comments that were made. Right, there were black-related comments, but I think the focus is on the gay-related comments. So just pray that my demeanor will glorify the Lord. I've been in these types of situations many times. You just need the wisdom from the Lord, and that I'll be able to speak with clarity and with grace without compromise, and that hearts and lives will be touched. Get a copy of my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. If you're not familiar with it, it's the most translated book I've written. It's been continuously in print since 1992, and in many ways is more relevant today than it was the day it was first printed. I got a wonderful testimony from a pastor in southern Spain who was... So Don Lemon was on yesterday. Got it. All right. Thanks, Matt. I got a note from a friend of a pastor in southern Spain who had held to replacement theology, the view that the church replaced Israel, did not have a heart for the Jews, read Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. His heart was completely changed, and he became a passionate lover of Israel and the Jewish people. So this book has really had an impact, and it might be the most eye-opening book you've ever read on the subject of the church, the Jewish people, and God's purposes for Israel. So if you don't have the book, let me strongly encourage you to get it. We're packaging it together with the CDs of today's broadcast. We had a lot of fascinating audio clips. $25 postage paid for the book and the CDs of the broadcast. Call now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Again, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. I trust you will be stirred, blessed, and changed and impacted when you read this book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. My bottom line today, some of the hatred against the Jewish people in Israel is so extreme, so irrational, that it can only be attributed to the father of lies himself.